First case to be heard this morning is number 2015-565, Columbus City Schools Board of Education versus Franklin County Board of Revision. The appellant is the Board of Education. Ms. Allison, please present your argument.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Kim Allison. I'm with the Rich and Gillis Law Group, and I'm here this morning on behalf of the Board of Education of the Columbus City School District. At this time, I would like to reserve 2 minutes of my time for rebuttal, please. The Board of Tax Appeals' decision in this case is unreasonable and lawful because the Board of Tax Appeals presumed the validity of the value determination made by the Franklin County Board of Revision rather than making its own independent judgment based upon a de novo review of the evidence. In its decision, the Board of Tax Appeals specifically affirmed the BOR's decision because it found no evidence to counter that decision. This is clearly the incorrect standard to be applied. The Board of Tax Appeals afforded the Board of Revision's decision a presumption of validity, despite the fact that this court has consistently held that a decision of a county Board of Revision is not entitled to a presumption of validity. Had the Board of Tax Appeals satisfied its duty to perform an independent de novo review of the evidence, it would have concluded that there was insufficient evidence in the record to support the Board of Revision's value determination. The facts of this case are very similar to those before the court in the 2011 Vandalia-Butler case. In Vandalia-Butler, the Board of Revision reduced value not based upon the evidence presented by the property owner, but upon the recommendation of the county's appraisal firm. The Board of Tax Appeals in that case affirmed the Board of Revision because it found that the Board of Education failed to submit evidence to counter the Board of Revision's decision, just as in this case. In Vandalia-Butler, the court reversed the Board of Tax Appeals' decision, finding that the BTA failed to discharge its duty to independently review the evidence. So as the complainant before the Board of Revision, the property owner had the initial burden of producing competent probative evidence to support its claimed reduction. To meet this initial burden, the property owner submitted a hearsay appraisal report with an effective date other than the tax lien date that was prepared for financing purposes, as well as a list of recent sales of different condominiums within the subject's neighborhood. The Board of Education properly objected to both of these documents as inadmissible hearsay. In its audio decision, the Board of Revision recognized the Board of Education's objection and specifically stated that these documents would not be given any weight in rendering their decision. In addition, at the Board of Revision hearing, the property owner testified that in his opinion, the downturn in the market had a negative impact on the value of the property for tax year 2012, not for tax year 2011. In fact, he admitted that the change in value did not occur until 2012. The property owner also attempted to withdraw his 2011 complaint and proceed on the 2012 complaint, realizing that there may be a jurisdictional issue. However, the Board of Revision declined to accept the property owner's withdrawal of his 2011 complaint, stating that they wanted to work their decision in the property owner's favor, if at all possible. So despite the fact that the Board of Revision expressly rejected the property owner's evidence and the fact that the property owner directly testified that in his opinion, the value change occurred in 2012, the Board of Revision still reduced value for 2011. This reduction was not based upon evidence submitted by the property owner, but upon the Board of Revision's own research of the multiple listing service and an analysis of a 2012 gross rent multiplier study conducted after the Board of Revision's hearing. The Board of Revision's actions in this case are problematic for several reasons. First, this court has consistently held that the auditor's initial determination of value for a given tax year possesses an increment of prima facie probative force. In this case, there was no evidence to rebut this initial prima facie indication of probative force, but the BOR still took it upon itself to go outside to do an external research after the conclusion of the hearing. Second, by performing its own independent research and relying upon documents that were not part of the evidentiary record, the Board of Revision essentially denied the Board of Education of the ability to effectively participate in the Board of Revision proceedings. Third, it would appear that the multiple listing service data relied upon by the Board of Education was likely an admissible hearsay, since none of the parties to the sale transaction were present to be cross-examined, and therefore their reliance on this information was inappropriate.
Does the Do the statutes themselves, is there a place that we can find in the statutes themselves that prevents the Board of Revision from going outside the evidence that was presented at the hearing?
No. In fact, the Board of Education is expressly permitted to go out and investigate on its own.
The Board of Revision.
The Board of Revision, I'm sorry.
Okay.
But it's the Board of Education's position that if this is done, whatever documents they rely upon still must be presented at the hearing so that the opposing counsel still has an opportunity to review and to cross-examine those documents. So after performing their own external investigation, the Board of Revision determined the 2011 value for the subject property to be $882,000, which ironically is a value lower than that initially claimed by the property owner. According to the Board of Revision's hearing worksheets, the BOR calculated this value by applying a gross rent multiplier of 70 to a rental rate of 700. But there is absolutely nothing in the record to support this calculation. The BOR's market rent calculation is completely unsupported, and it's true that the property owner testified that his rents ranged from $695 to $750 in 2012, but there's nothing in the record to establish the rents for 2011, and there is no market data to enable us to determine whether the actual contract rents charged by the property conform to the market.
Now, there is, as you're well aware, the case law that says that the Board of Education, when it's the appellant at the BTA, under many circumstances, cannot rely on the auditor's valuation as a default valuation. Why does that rule not apply here?
This case is very different. It's very different than East Bank and Bedford and North Point. It's more in line with Vandalia Butler because the Board of Revision did not reduce value based on the property owner's evidence. Therefore, there's been no specific plausible evidence that would either establish a different value or negate the auditor's value in any way. So, the property owner did not meet their initial burden before the Board of Revision, so the burden certainly can't shift to the Board of Education on appeal to rebut evidence when none was technically submitted. So the Board of Education appealed the Board of Revision's erroneous decision to the Board of Tax Appeals, and on appeal, the Board of Education argued that the evidence in the record was insufficient to support the BOR's value determination. Under this court's ruling in Vandalia Butler, the Board of Education had the burden to prove that the BOR decision was incorrect, but not required to produce additional evidence to meet this burden. In its decision, the Board of Tax Appeals did not evaluate the evidence or the Board of Education's arguments, but merely rubber-stamped the decision of the Board of Revision. Recently in Sears, this court held that the Board of Tax Appeals is not required to issue specific findings of fact, but even in that decision, the court distinguished cases like the subject, where the Board of Tax Appeals affirmed a valuation made by a Board of Revision, which differed from the auditor's value, despite the fact that the record contains no supporting evidence and no evidence was presented to the Board of Tax Appeals. In this case, obviously, it's our position that the BTA had a clear duty to evaluate the evidence. This is especially true in light of the fact that the evidence relied upon by the Board of Revision was not presented by the property owner. It was not provided at an evidentiary hearing. Given the fact that the Board of Revision in this case specifically stated at the hearing that they intended to work their decision to the benefit of the property owner, if at all possible, denying the Board of Education the ability to question the methodology utilized and data relied upon by the Board of Revision essentially denies the Board of Education of any ability to effectively participate in.
Well, just for the sake of argument, though, when the Board of Education takes the case before the Board of Tax Appeals, the Board of Education has all of its hearing rights at the Board of Tax Appeals summon witnesses to the BTA hearing, to adduce additional evidence.
That's true. But in this case, the only evidence that was added to the record is the 2012 gross rent multiplier study. In evaluating our case, it was our position that there was nothing to establish rents for 2011. There was nothing to establish value for 2011. Technically, it was our view that the Board of Revision's calculation in this case was so erroneous that it was legal error. So we appealed based on that.
Okay.
We would also think it would be unfair to, again, shift the burden to the Board of Education when the property owner has not clearly met their initial burden in this case. Obviously, as a general rule, when the Board of Tax Appeals reverses a decision of the Board of Revision, the Board of Tax Appeals is justified in reverting to the auditor's value unless there's evidence in the record that affirmatively negates the auditor's value. This clearly is not the case herein, so the Board of Tax Appeals would have been justified in reverting to the auditor's value. The property owner failed to submit any specific and plausible evidence to establish the value of the property as of January 1st, 2011, or to affirmatively negate the auditor's value. Therefore, the Board of Tax Appeals should have determined that the Board of Revision improperly reduced the value of the subject property for tax year 2011 and reinstated the auditor's value. Further, even if this court somehow determines that the Board of Revision properly reduced value for tax year 2011, the Board of Revision should not have carried that value forward to tax year 2012 and 2013 because the property owner filed a tax year 2012 complaint, thereby cutting off the Board of Revision's continuing complaint jurisdiction.
Now, 2011 would have been in Franklin County reappraisal year.
It was, correct? Yes.
So this 2012 complaint would have been within the same triennium.
Yes, it would have, absolutely.
Was there any basis for avoiding the rule of not filing twice in the same...
With one of the exceptions checked, there was not. And that was the distinction that the Board of Tax Appeals made in their decision in this case. But the court has said that the filing of a procedurally valid complaint cuts off the carry forward. The Board of Tax Appeals kind of took this one step further to hold that procedurally valid requires that that complaint be jurisdictionally sufficient. But that, in essence, makes the rule meaningless because a property owner could file year after year after year without any consequences. Failing to agree with or agreeing with the Board of Tax Appeals analysis would render the direct prohibition against filing multiple complaints in the same triennial period utterly meaningless. The General Assembly has clearly recognized that the filing of a second complaint within the triennial cuts off the Board of Revision's continuing complaint jurisdiction. Under 5715.19a4, a second complaint can be filed in the same triennial without checking one of the exception boxes, and a property owner can proceed with that second complaint as long as they withdraw the first complaint prior to a hearing. So just in summary, given the fact that the Board of Revision specifically stated at hearing they intended to work their decision to the benefit of the property owner if at all possible, denying the Board of Education the ability to question the methodology utilized and data relied upon by the Board of Revision denied the Board of Education of any ability to participate in the BOR's proceedings. If this Board of Revision decision is then afforded a presumption of validity, the Board of Education will then be forced with an insurmountable burden that it could never possibly overcome. For those reasons, we would respectfully request that this court reverse the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals and reinstate the auditor's original value of $1,066,000 for tax years 2011, 12, and 13.
Thank you, Ms. Allison. Mr. Chess.
Hi, I'm Matthew Chess. I'm the property owner. Also listed on the complaint is my father, but he's deceased, so I'm going to be the only one here. So I'm wondering what we're even doing here. So I think why we're here is because after the real estate crisis, the Columbus School Board found itself in a bind. Declining real estate values meant declining revenue to run the schools, and in response, the Columbus School Board instituted an aggressive policy to fight property owners who wished to bring tax valuations in line with true market conditions. Their motivations were not to be fair or true to realities, but to protect their own bottom line at the expense of property owners. We are here because if I pay taxes on the true value of my property, they lose money, and they don't want that. The lawyers for the CSB, objected to my evidence at the original hearing. My response to that is, she was talking about the burden. The Columbus School Board is not the one with the burden here. It's the property owners. With the current rules, I'm not allowed to use a bank appraisal, an appraisal I've already paid for. Appraisals are pretty much recognized as there's no incentive for an appraiser to alter the property value, for a bank or for any other purpose. An appraisal is an appraisal, but for some reason, I'm not allowed to use a bank appraisal. So
the when you say that you're not allowed to use it, you're saying that the Board of Revision would not permit it to be admitted into evidence?
Right. They want a separate appraisal. So if I were to get a separate appraisal on my properties, that's $1,500 apiece, $1,500 apiece. That's a burden. You know, for properties that are worth, you know, $40,000 or $50,000, I'm supposed to get a $1,500 appraisal apiece. And then they objected to, oh, it's hearsay evidence because the appraiser is not there for them to question. Well, that's a burden. To get the appraisal to show up, it's about $500. And again, you know, we're talking about a tax situation that just really doesn't justify the amount of money I would have to spend to fight it. That's a burden. I'm supposed to come up with, you know, I'm supposed to bring the appraiser to the hearing. You know, they don't have time for that. They need paid for their time, and every other a written appraisal is a pretty much universally accepted document, you know, among financial institutions. And they, you know, when you submit an appraisal to a bank, they don't normally require the appraiser to show up and justify the appraisal. You know, all the information's there. It's a big, detailed document. You know, all of that is a burden. They also don't accept. So in my particular case, these are condos. These are condos all in the same complex. Well, another thing that they don't accept is, for tax evaluation purposes, is short sales and foreclosures. Well, that's all there is back there. In 5 years, there's been one private sale back there. Everything else has been short sales and foreclosures. If you're an investor or you're a property owner, you look at the foreclosures. Oh, look at all these foreclosures. These properties aren't worth this much. There's too many foreclosures. You know, as a layman or a professional, you know, we know in our head the foreclosures mean something. But, you know, they're not allowed to be used in evidence. So that's a burden. You know, where am I supposed to get these sales that don't exist? It's what's called a micro market. You know, that it's a condo complex. And, you know, it's following market trends on its own. Another thing that the school board is objecting to is some things that could be considered procedural errors that happened. Well, when the property crisis hit, the Board of Revisions was inundated with requests to revise property values. And legitimately, the property values went down. We should be able to get our new property values. Well, they were inundated. They couldn't handle the workload. And if you check the dates on this case, the 2011 and 2012 were heard on the same day. Well, the reason they were heard on the same day is because they never responded to my 2011 request. And the reason I filed one for 2012 is because I was like, well, what happened to my 2011? I never heard from them. They didn't respond to it. Maybe there was a mistake. I don't know. They at that time, you know, it wasn't really very easy to work with the Board of Revisions because they were overwhelmed. So I filed again, and I didn't file again to cheat anybody. I didn't file again, you know, to see if I could get away with something. I filed again because I never heard about the first one. And so we get to, you know, so when they do finally hear me, the 2011 and the 2012 were heard at the same time, which, you know, is evidence in itself that they were behind. The hearing itself is, you know, it's supposed to be an informal hearing, not unlike this. And I think it's reasonable that the Board of Revisions wants to work with the property owner. The Columbus School Board seems to want to handle the evidence like a criminal court case. Again, and that's sort of a burden to me. I am not a lawyer, and I can't afford to, in addition to hiring an appraiser and getting a whole bunch of appraisers on appraisals on individual properties, I can't expect to hire a lawyer, to deal with, something in, that really comes down to a couple thousand dollars in taxes. It ought to be something I can do myself. And the Board of Revisions, seem to be willing to work with me, which is reasonable. I don't know about the evidence later on when they did the appeals and things like that. What I do know is that what we should be worried about is what's the actual value of the properties. And if after the hearing, the Board of Revisions did some research on their own, good for them. That's what they're supposed to do. They should be, that's their job. What's that property worth? That's their job. It's not the Columbus Board of Education's job. As a matter of fact, it's ridiculous that they don't have to present any evidence. They can object and object and object, but they don't have to go out and get appraisals. Why is that? It's not reasonable. They can object to, everything I present, but they're not required to go out and get an appraisal on their own and say, "Hey, look at this. We got this independent appraisal. Why are you giving him that price? We have evidence that it's this price." They're not required to do that. All those burdens are on me.
Well, what the school board would say is that you're the one trying to change the value, so that at least the starting point is for you to present more evidence. The question then is, once the Board of Revision has adopted a lower value, whether or not they should have to present more evidence at the Board of Tax Appeals.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the law is, but I think ethically, if they think the property is worth a different price, then they should present some evidence to show that. Where's their appraisal? Where are their comps? And they're calling all of my evidence hearsay. All of this is public information that you can look up on the auditor's website. It's not hearsay. It's not hearsay if they bothered to look it up. It's right there. I'm sorry that each one of these individual property sellers can't come to court, but it's in public record that the BOR can look at, and you can look at, and I can look at online. I can look at it on my phone right now. Let's see, I talked about that. I just think that somebody has to ultimately decide what the property is worth. I can have my input on it. The Columbus Board of Education can have their input on it. But at some point, professionals have to decide. And the professionals have decided. And I don't think that the Columbus Board of Education should have the power to overrule the professionals. They're in the business of education. Once that's been decided, they should be out of it.
Or at least have to present new evidence of their own.
Right. That's my opinion anyway. Let's see. Oh, and in closing, they've been real sticklers for rules and evidence and all. And at the very beginning of this process, we were required to file briefs. And the Columbus School Board was late, and they filed a time extension for their brief. Now, based on their own rules on the Supreme Court's website, they were required to present a compelling reason for the extension. And if you read their request for the extension, they give no reason whatsoever, and certainly not a compelling one. They just ask for more time.
What level was this, the extension of time?
When we filed our initial briefs.
In this court?
Yes.
Okay.
They waited till the last second, and then filed an extension. And in the extension, according to your court rules, you're supposed to provide a compelling reason for the extension. And they provided no reason whatsoever. Needing more time is, that's obvious. That's why you file an extension. That's not a reason for the extension or a compelling reason. So I think for that alone, we shouldn't even be here. But other than that, there's... there's plenty of evidence for the layman to look at the property values of my condo units and see that there's something up, something wrong with the initial values from the board, you know, from the tax people. And those have been looked at, they've been revised, and I don't see that the Columbus School Board has provided any evidence to counter that. They don't have their own evidence, and even if some rules were a little shook up, we accommodated that. You know, the Board of Revision was overwhelmed, so maybe I got a little slack. Well, that's fine. You know, they had some problems. I did something wrong. They accommodated. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. The whole purpose of this is to get the right value. It's not to determine, you know, whether or not I'm going to jail. You know, it's determine my property values. So I would ask that we keep the values determined by the Board of Revision, and that would be it.
Thank you, Mr. Chess.
All right, thanks a lot.
Ms. Allison, you've reserved 2 minutes and 21 seconds for rebuttal.
First, I would just like to start by stating that if the Board of Education is required to produce evidence any time a Board of Revision reduces value, then that's essentially affording an ultimate presumption of validity to the Board of Revision's decision, which is contrary to law. While we certainly appreciate the policy arguments made by the property owner in this case, the property owner did initiate these proceedings. The law setting forth the procedures to be followed are clear, the burdens are also clear, and the property owner failed to meet its burden in this case. The Board of Revision clearly overstepped its duty to hear complaints by independently investigating after the hearing in order to fill its earlier commitment to the taxpayer to decide the case in his favor, if at all possible. Contrary to the property owner's assertions, it's not the Board of Revision's job to determine value. That's the auditor's value. The Board of Revision's duty is to hear and decide complaints. In this case, the Board of Revision essentially usurped the duty of the auditor and went out and determined value on their own based on nothing. For these reasons, we would request that the court reverse the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals and affirm the auditor's original value.
Thank you, Ms. Allison. This case will be submitted to the court, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.